Hello and welcome to the Mall Over podcast, the podcast for all the news, views and opinion with a West Country accent and a little bit home counties. Now, we've been away for a while. Russ has had a pretty rough weekend and we thought, you know, with everything that's sort of gone on in the last week or so, it'd be best if we left him to just recover slightly. He's been on the piss all weekend. So it's just me and Ben today, me being Dougie and Ben Eustace. How are you doing, Ben?
Suffering a bit.
Suffering?
Yeah, I've not got a hangover. I've just got a bit of a cold. Just feeling sorry for myself.
I mean, if I didn't think that we would be abused by the Twitter mob, I would say wipe your vagina and get on with it.
I'm not antagonising the Twitter mob for at least 10 minutes of this podcast.
Yeah, it's been an interesting off-season for the Mall Over podcast. There's been a few issues. We won't go over them too much. Safe to say, mildly ridiculous in almost all cases. But and also mostly my fault. apart from one particular episode, which I think we'll leave well alone, shall we, Ben?
I think that's wise.
Yeah, we'll leave that well alone.
Other than say it's unfounded.
Yeah, totally. And all it would take is one quick trawl through a Twitter page history to realise who and what you're dealing with. But we're not going to mention any more than that, are we?
No, not at all.
We are here to talk about the off-season and, most importantly, England's warm-up games. Now, most other podcasts have done this on a, you know, sort of weekly basis. Good on them. We've decided to have a life over summer and not worry about podcasting. But we hope everyone that listens to this has had a jolly, wonderful time. I'm sure you have. I'm sure everyone's life is amazing, except ours. So without further ado, should we get on with it, Ben?
Yeah, let's get on with it.
All right. So before we touch on England, who would you say are the home nations has... I'm not going to pose that question. What I'm actually going to do is say it's been a weird off-season, hasn't it? Because with the sort of way the TV contracts have worked, you don't really know where... Like, Scotland played France and I didn't know it was on telly. Was it on telly?
Not that I saw, no. And it was a typical one team plays another twice in a row. The first week someone gets a pumping and then the second week it's role reversal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think you learn much from these games. You know, England beat Ireland by, what was it, 40 points? If that's the World Cup semi-final, it's probably not going to happen. So, you know, you just got to see, you know, where the coaches' minds are going, perhaps with a bit of selection. And hope no one gets injured.
So, I want to let's talk about England quickly then. And we're not going to take long on this podcast. Ben... until I get this into an editing facility, I'm not sure how it's going to sound. Ben's talking into his phone from the phone's in a sort of lying prone position, looking up at Ben to make him. He looks like some kind of giant at the moment, sort of hovering in the corner of the screen. It's quite worrying. But have we underestimated what Eddie Jones has been up to over the last 3 years, or is he making it up as he goes along? Because I got a theory about this, right? So. Everyone's saying, oh, well, Teo's been ditched. Why has he gone back to playing Ford Farrell? Yeah, you know, all these questions. No one seems to, not that I've read anywhere, and I'm not professing that I've come up with this theory on my own. Well, I have, but I'm not professing that I'm the first person that's done it, to think it. But is there an argument for saying the first 2 years of Eddie Jones's tenure, he played Ford Farrell. He knew what he was getting out of them. And maybe we've underestimated him in that he was using the intervening period up until now to really try and bed in a second combination because he knew Ford Farrell was the one that was going to work. And he was always intending to start Ford Farrell and then a Bosher and a slightly more creative player.
Yeah, I was thinking about this again, like you say, has he come to this through being a sort of Machiavellian genius or has he just lucked into it? It's probably a little bit of both. I think it's well known that I really do like Ford and Farrell as a partnership. And I think that his plan A when he got the job was Ford Fowler and Tuilagi, and he's never had the chance. And I think when Tuilagi finally got fit, he had Ford perhaps not on the best form and Slade probably on the form of his career. So he decided to sort of ride the hot horse, or whatever the phrase is, form horse, I guess, which did pretty well in the Six Nations. But I do think that Ford and Farrell was always his plan A. So I think every 10 plays better with another playmaker outside him. And, you know, any team's going to look better with Tuilagi getting him on the front foot. I'm also really pleased with the back row combination that went into that Ireland game. The only problem with it is I don't think Underhill will stay fit for long enough to last the whole World Cup. But I think that partnership, Curry, Underhill and Vunipola, is fantastic. And it's harsh on Wilson, but I think he's the perfect sub because he can cover all three positions.
I think you've just got to look at the evidence of Saturday, and just as brilliant as Wilson is, he's just not the player that Curry or Underhill are, is he? He's just not as good, and that's, you know, as much as he's a tryer and a good, honest Northern boy and all that nonsense, he's just not as good as the other two.
But a good man to have in your squad.
Oh, absolutely. There's no denying that. And the only question marks we've got are obviously the Mako Vunipola injury situation. No one seems to have come out as to how serious that is or not. So I'd say that if Mako's out, then the front row becomes a bit of a, you know, because Jamie George has seemingly won out for that job now, and the tight head position's slightly up for grabs, would you say?
I think the actual rugby that Sinclair brings to the team will get him in. I mean, they almost use him as a halfback at times, and he's got very, very decent, very soft hands. Not something you could say of Dan Cole. And think the scrummaging's come on.
Dan Cole got hands.
Just two stumps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just two stumps with 10 dicks attached to them.
And like a collar that beeps every time he gives away a penalty. But again, he's a good man to have in the squad. It's a bit of experience. He'll come in and sort of hold the scrum up if necessary. But I think Sinclair's probably won that job now. There's only two of them in the squad. I think that's the only real worry in the scrum, as you say, is Mako and how fit he is. The recall of Marlow is a little bit perhaps unfair on some of the other props.
I think that was my feelings on him are well known. I just think that was a bit of a joke. I think he's taking the piss, to be fair.
You can see why they want an sort of established international there as cover.
I can see it. I just I think it's very, very harsh on the Exeter boys.
It is, yeah. And, you know, either of them would do a good job, you know. And it's got to be a fairly decent chance that Mako isn't going to see the end of the tournament, so they probably ought to keep their phones turned on, at least.
Yeah, you're right. So, obviously, you mentioned we gave Ireland a bit of a walloping. They're going to struggle if Sexton goes down, aren't they?
Yeah, of course they are. But, you know, we've said that about them for probably 3 years, I guess.
And this is the problem with their domestic system, isn't it? You know, if you've only got four teams to choose from, that's really only four players that can possibly compete. And then if you've got one that isn't Irish qualified, you're in trouble, like Munster. I know they've got... Do they play Carberry at 10? They don't. They play the South African guy, don't they?
A bit of both, I think.
Yeah.
Is Carberry done for tournament?
I think he is, isn't he? Didn't he get done in the semi-finals of the Europe?
Certainly picked up an injury. You know, Wales are in the same situation now as well, you know, with Anscombe out.
Yeah.
And that is the problem with these warm-ups. You can easily lose a player. you know, if Figa was to go down now, they've got nothing really experienced that they can bring in.
Yeah, I mean, you have to play the games, though. I'm not sure four is really necessary, but you have to play some.
Yeah, you do, of course, have to play some, but it is always a bit of a tightrope for the players, isn't it?
Yeah. If it was me, I wouldn't put my starting 10 out for any of these games. That's too big a thing. Same with tight head or, you know, your number eight. You want your most important players to be available, don't you? And if you're risking all of them in ultimately meaningless games, it could potentially cost you a World Cup. And I think with Wales, they're lucky that Bigger is actually, in my opinion, the better player. So they're actually, I think, improving their squad rather than harming it. But
Figure's really underrated, isn't he?
Yeah, I really didn't like him, and then I've seen him for Saints this season, and every time he's played for Saints, it's been amazing. He really has.
Claim any credit for this? I saw someone mentioned it on Twitter. Wales fly half that are solid rather than spectacular. They always get a lot of grief. You know,
yeah.
Your Stephen Jones is your...
I think people want a Welsh fly half to be like a, you know, creative, like a Danny Cipriani-esque kind of fly half, don't they?
They want Barry John or Phil Bennett. But
if Cipriani had been Welsh, he'd have 400 caps by now.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they have solid guys that have done him a lot of good, like Jenkins and Stephen Jones. So, you know, they don't seem to appreciate them till they retire. And as I say, I saw that on Twitter. I think it was maybe Paul Williams or something like that mentioned it, but it was a really good point.
So, should we talk about the things that we seem to have after every rugby match?
Sorry, there's a dog going mental outside my window. I'm going to shut the window.
Well, he's probably just heard what we're talking about and is expressing his displeasure.
Yeah, he's a fan of the big hits, that dog.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It was a good hit. Just a real big guy hitting a much smaller guy, and I think I think it was a few Irish journalists sort of pointed out that they thought it was unfair, but I think even some of the sort of concussion scientists came in and said, well, there's not much wrong with that one.
Yeah, I think the fact that he hit the ball kind of created a spring effect, didn't it, that sort of gave him that sort of whiplash look.
Yeah.
But again, you know, there's no reasoning with these people, is there? They just go off on there.
I mean, there's an element of risk to it. If he gets that wrong and smashes the guy in the nose, then
you mean like Rob Carney did to Tom Curry?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I saw that on the first replay, and it took Twitter a couple of days to catch up. But you know, at the end of the day, I just don't think we should be going back through screenshotting things and gifting things, and even that Tuilagi shot. I've seen four different stills. In two of them, it's a high shot. In two of them, it isn't. So
yeah,
there's not much you can do about it.
There's absolutely nothing, and we're going to get it after every single event now.
Well, the Rugby Podcast Awards, the Twitter page, his prediction for the World Cup is that after every game there's going to be this sort of whipped up Twitter hysteria, and by the end he's going to like rugby less than he did before the tournament starts, and that's kind of how I'm feeling at the moment.
But I think that's how it's going to go. I mean, it's going to happen in cricket. They've got their teeth into cricket now, haven't they?
Well, I'm still waiting for the first tweet that says Stokes' innings should never have happened because he took a whack on the head on three.
Yeah, that's why they're wearing helmets.
Yeah. I mean, for all our talk of England Ireland, that was the sporting event of the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually playing cricket at the time, or rather watching tri-village T20, and we were watching we were batting in our first game, and no one was paying attention. Yeah, like literally everyone cheered when, you know, it was incredible, just incredible. This is the rugby podcast, Ben, and you've got a platform to talk about that you've never taken up yet. So
I don't know enough about cricket, but I certainly enjoy.
We don't know anything about rugby, mate, and we still chat about it.
Yeah, but it's too late to give up now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in it now.
Plus, you know, it gives me a platform to
say again.
Gives me a platform to send messages, doesn't it?
It does. Oh, Jesus Christ. No comment. It's taking every ounce of self-control I have, put it that way.
Chelsea close to the win there already. We'll move back to the rugby, shall we?
Yeah, let's. So we've covered off England Ireland pretty well. Is there anything else you want to say about that?
Yeah, there's two things. They're both kind of revolved around the back three, really. I'm still not convinced with Daly. He absolutely makes my team. But on the wing, but I just think in defence he's still a bit naive sometimes, perhaps is the word. So I think I'd start with Watson at fullback and Daly and May on the wings.
Yep.
Because I'm really not convinced Jack Noel is going to make the tournament. We haven't seen him yet, and the sort of noise doesn't seem very hopeful on it. And I do think that perhaps if he does then eventually have to pull out of the tournament, I think that's when we'll see a third scrum half appear.
Yeah.
So I think even that part of the squad that got a lot of stick might be a little bit of method to that as well.
Fair.
Yeah, it's a bit unfortunate extra at the moment because Sam Skin has been ruled out as well. Scotland.
Right. He's a great player. That'll be a big loss for Scotland because, you know, their squad's not exactly the largest, is it?
No. But, yeah, I think as far as England are concerned, they'll be pretty pleased with these games. They've learnt nothing from a sort of half-interested Ireland. I don't think they've learnt a great deal from the Wales games either, other than they were two tough sort of games to prepare for. I think England and Wales on any given day, one is just as capable of beating the other as you know, each team is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a 50-50 thing with those two. It's, you know, home advantage or bit of luck on the day. They're two very similar teams that can each match each other pretty much, I think. And I just worry with England, if they lose to Alangi, then, to Alangi, but I meant to say Billy. If they lose Billy, then they suddenly stop getting across the game line quite soon.
Yeah, but as we've discussed on previous pods, potentially that would then open up a different avenue of play whereby we'd sort of tweak the lineup and, you know, not everything would go through Billy.
Wonder if that's when.
And again, that goes back to my point about maybe we've underestimated Eddie Jones all this time.
I wonder if they lose Billy, then they start to use Kofunasiga. You know, he comes in and they use him off the blindside wing a lot. There was a lot of that going on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe Eddie is the genius we thought he was when he joined.
Let's hope so, eh? Let's hope so. Have you watched any of the other warm-up games, Ben?
I can't say I have, no.
No. Well, nor have I. I was at England Wales in Cardiff, or Wales England. That was a waste of time for everyone. But no, have you watched any rugby championship?
No. There was a red card theory on that one as well, wasn't there?
There was. I didn't see it. I don't care about it. And that's what you're subscribing for, guys. Concise, you know, up to the minute recycling of old stories and opinionated stuff about concussions. That's essentially what you get with us in a nutshell.
Do we like any kits yet, Doug?
Well, I mean, we've all seen the Saints one, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's an absolute thing of beauty. Hang on, I've got to go. Okay, crisis averted. A moth had landed on my daughter's pillow.
Okay.
So let's just look. We're gonna keep it brief. There's only a couple of us here. So, where do you stand? Where do you think England are at the moment in terms of what do you think they're gonna achieve in Japan?
I think, obviously, New Zealand are in a bit of a sort of inverted commas rut at the moment, in that they haven't blasted everyone to pieces as they normally do. But I still think they're favourites, but they're not as big a favourite as they have been in the past. And I think the law of averages sort of starts to count against them and the winning three tournaments the bounce. I think I would still put South Africa as second favourite. And then I think England, Ireland and Wales, any of them on their day, could probably beat those teams in a knockout game, in a one-off knockout game. But I think if they get to the semi-final, you'd probably say, well, that's about their level. But once they get there, then I think they are capable, as they've shown, of beating South Africa or New Zealand. So then all bets are off. So I don't know if that answers your question, other than that they're probably one of the four favourites.
Which I think is where we were at the end of the last World Cup, right?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, you'd probably say that's where England are for most World Cups, just because of the number of players they've got and preparation that they have. And you know, even if they're not firing all cylinders, they should still do well in the World Cup, which is why the last World Cup was such a massive disappointment. Wales, they've got some really good players. They're really well coached, and you know, they're Six Nations champions. But if their defence doesn't fire on all cylinders, can they score enough points? That's the question you've got there. And then with Ireland, it's just, did they peak too soon, you know, 2 years ago? And I think I'm not judging them on Saturday's performance, because it was basically a friendly, but they haven't looked the team they were when they beat the All Blacks, and it's going to be difficult for them, I think. But you know, England have got one of those groups where you could see them slipping up, which would be, you know, awful for us, and it would be brilliant for all the other home nations, because they'd love it. But I think England should get out of that group. Then we'll see how it goes from there.
Agreed. I think it's probably the most open World Cup I can remember, but I also think that New Zealand are still going to walk it. So why bother? Just save everyone. Think of the welfare. Just give it to New Zealand. Same as the Premiership. We should just not play the Premiership and just let Saracens and Exeter play one game in June, and then that'll be it.
Enter Saracens at the World Cup.
Yeah.
They do better than Russia.
Probably be better than Ireland, to be fair, at the moment. Anyway, should we leave it there? Very quick one. Half-hour pod. I like that.
To remind everyone we exist, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even gonna edit out the running to save my daughter, because I'm happy with that.
If I'd known that, I'd have just started talking about something.
Oh, well, you know, it's, you know, don't worry about it. You can't be all things to all people, Ben.
I don't really try to be. I think just 2 minutes of me monologuing about current affairs would probably switch more people off than the silence.
Yeah, I mean, I presume you're using that time to slide into someone's DMs, right?
I don't even know what that means.
Nor should any self-respecting 30 to 40-year-old.
Yeah.
Or older.
Basically, I couldn't guarantee that Skype on my phone would have stayed connected had I pressed the button. Which is why I'm just hovering over the phone at the moment. So yeah, I just basically sat there. I did blow my nose, so maybe that got picked up.
No, I just thought you were talking about that Whizbit fella. What was his name? Do you remember that show?
Oh, yeah, with Paul Daniels.
Yeah. There you go. That was weird.
I didn't like that one. Much you more didn't... a Fraggle Rock man.
Were you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had time for a bit of Whizbit. Okay, any other business?
I'm never prepared for this, am I?
Well, I mean, you know, don't say. I mean, you've only had 6 months or whatever it is since we last podded.
Oh, I saw Russell on the plane.
That was weird. How did you not know you were both going to be on that plane? I mean, there's only like 40 people in Cornwall, so you must have known at some point.
Well, perhaps he was too busy on his phone.
Or eating.
Yeah, perhaps he was.
Because he's so fat. Or moisturising his sunburnt scalp.
But I felt like I've been with him all day anyway, because he's been complaining about the cricket all day on WhatsApp.
Yeah, he was really going, wasn't he?
But yeah, he wasn't very happy because I got myself in seat 1A.
Amazing.
And as that's the oversized seat, he's normally used to getting that one.
Well, he usually has to buy two, doesn't he?
But
he's going to be so angry about this. He's so chippy today because he's hungover.
This chap did get on, though, who was about 6'6" and about 25 stone.
Really?
And Russ just went, he's definitely sitting next to you. Sure enough, he was.
Okay, let's leave it. My only other business is I recently went to America and was eating a lot of tacos because they're cheap and wonderful and delicious. And you get three for like $5 or whatever, and they're just wonderful. At Twickenham at the weekend, I bought a taco from the taco stand there. They were terrible, worse than any I had in America, and they were £5 for one, and they put so much hot sauce on it, I couldn't taste anything else. Why can't you get a decent taco in England?
I like tacos as well. They're very good.
Yeah. Somebody open up a decent taco stand and I'll come and buy all of your products immediately. I'll do it. All right. That'll do it.
Do you know how much a pint of beer was at the baseball at the Olympic Stadium?
Well, I bet it wasn't as much as it was at the San Diego Padres.
How much was it at the Padres?
$13 for a Bud Light. Yeah,
no,
which is
right,
about 10 quid.
£7.50.
Wow, that's outrageous. Ludicrous. I bought a large white wine and a pint of Peroni in a pub in Amersham, and it cost me £16. Silence says it all. Outrageous. It's no wonder pubs are closing. Absolutely no wonder at all. You can literally walk in. I walked over to Marks and Spencer's and I was able to buy a 4-pack of Peroni and a bottle of wine for 13 quid. So I don't know what's going on. Again, silence.
Yeah.
All right. Look, thanks for not unsubscribing from us. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for, you know, sticking with us on Twitter after some pretty ugly stuff went down last week. Again, mainly my fault. Don't blame Ben. He's lovely. Or Phil. He's nice. I mean, blame Russ. He's a dick. But, yeah, thanks for that. And we know it's quick, but we'll be back soon, because we need to talk about kits more, Ben, when the new bath kit's released, because they've got a new kit coming out, haven't they?
Tomorrow, I believe.
Yep. The new Saints kit is an absolute dream, by the way. It's absolutely everything I could have ever wished for. X to release some kits. They're basically PE kits. Don't worry about it. I just wish everyone had stopped making black shirts. It annoys me. You know, every team's got a colour palette. Use it. Black for black's sake.
We all know your feelings on the Exeter shirt.
Yeah, they're terrible. Cool. All right. Well, Ben, cheers for keeping the pod alive with me. And
thanks for hosting.
Thanks for nothing, Russ. And hope you're doing all right, Phil.
Can't handle his beer.
No, it's hard. All right, until next time. Go well.